This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Welcome to this conference. I hope you all had good journeys. It's a rather extraordinary conference centre, this one, isn't it? You sort of come in and sort of you think you must be coming to the wrong place, and you come down. It's a bit like being in the TARDIS. It sort of suddenly opens up enormously. So anyway, welcome. I'm glad you all got your way here. I hope you had reasonable journeys too. This is now the fifth annual Student Retention and Progression Conference put on by Neil Stewart Associates. I have chaired one or two in the past, but not for the last couple of years, so I'm going to just briefly introduce myself, if I haven't met you all before. My name is Mike Baker. I was the education editor at the BBC for a long time, now work as a freelance for The Guardian and still for the BBC, and covering education, really, frankly, for about more years than I like to remember. I think we've got a really good day ahead of us with some excellent speakers. We've been very lucky that we've only lost one person, one of the panel members, who was stranded in Madrid as a result of the volcanic ash. It could have been a lot worse, particularly coming at this time when a lot of people are coming back from sort of Easter travel and so on. Hopefully none of you had troubles getting here. I don't know if any of you were planning to fly, but if you were having trouble getting here, of course you won't be here for me to tell you that, but there we are. Let me just go through a few housekeeping points, if I can, before we get going. If I could make sure you have your mobile phones off, preferably completely off rather than just on silent, because they get picked up by all the microphones that are around, even if they're just on silent. You should all have picked up your conference guide, which within there you'll see the details of the seminars and the agenda for the day. You'll notice that one of the seminars has had to be cancelled, unfortunately. I think everyone who had signed up for that has been informed, but if you hadn't heard that, then it's no problem at all going along to either of the other two if you wish. Just to say that there is no fire drill planned today, so if we do hear alarm sounds, we are to take those as real. If it's an intermittent sound, that is just to put us on standby, but if it's a continuous sound, that means we're asked to leave the building by the marked exits, one over that corner there and one behind, and then there'll be staff on hand to guide us out to the assembly positions. You also notice there's a camera here, and the recordings are being, the sound is also being recorded to go on the policyreview.tv website, and they'll be up from noon tomorrow. The web address is in your guide there, but it is www.policyreview.tv. And also to say all the presentations from today will also be available on that website. Well, I think just a few opening comments from me about the sort of general climate, because I think it's impossible really to open any conference on any aspect of higher education without some reference to A, the financial climate, and B, the political setting. Because I think the way that both funding and government develop over the next few months will strongly shape what universities can do in terms of widening participation, and therefore will provide much of the backdrop for retention and progression. Higher education, as you know, faces a rather grim financial outlook, although just how grim we won't really know until after the election, until whoever forms the next government carries out the overdue comprehensive spending review. And, of course, if we do get the hiatus of a hung parliament and possibly another election within the year, then, of course, that could be even further delayed as well, make higher education strategy and planning even more difficult. However, whatever the outcome, what we do already know, of course, is that the sector is facing a reduction in spending, a mixture of cuts and those so-called efficiency savings, which are somehow supposed to be different from cuts, of just over £1 billion between 2010 and 2013. As Sir Alan Langlands, the head of HEFCE, the funding council, told a conference I chaired just the other day, the public sector can now only be funded through borrowing, and that's quite a sobering thought and has all sorts of implications, I think, for the long-term future. I mean, HEFCE funding for 2010-11 amounts to £7.3 billion, and of that, the Treasury will have to borrow £1.8 billion. Put another way, for every £4 that's going to be spent on higher education, the Treasury is going to have to borrow a pound. And you know, with all the pressure that will be to tackle the budget deficit, that clearly raises very strong implications for the future for funding of higher education. And if you look at the manifestos of all the political parties, none of them is promising to protect higher education spending. Some other areas, such as schools or overseas aid, are being given a certain amount of protection, which means if some areas are protected, then those that aren't are going to get hit even more so. And already a number of universities are reporting budget deficits, and as Steve Smith, President of Universities UK, said just the other day, this is going to be an era for higher education different to anything that any of us have known before, anyone who's certainly currently working in universities. As he points out, even in the Thatcher years, when things felt pretty bad in terms of funding, there was only one year out of the Thatcher years when actually funding for universities fell in real terms. By contrast, now the Institute for Fiscal Studies is saying it's very likely there will be no real terms increase in funding for higher education for at least the next 8 years. I mention all this not to sort of depress you, really, but clearly there are significant implications of all this for retention and progression issues, not least because there are significant financial implications of those for institutions. However, it's not all gloom. There's some good news as well. What is quite clear is that university study and going to university is not only remains popular, but is actually growing in popularity. Applications this year, the revised figures from UCAS, not quite as high as they were earlier, but up overall by about 16%, which is a pretty astonishing rise in applications. And applications from students outside the EU up by even more, up by over 20%. The impact on different types of institutions varies enormously. I was at the UCAS conference just a couple of weeks ago, and it was quite extraordinary seeing how different the impact of those application increases have been. On the post-92 institutions, average increases are somewhere in the order of 30%, which is quite staggering, meaning some institutions, many institutions, are going from being recruiting to selecting universities, whereas Russell Group institutions have seen a more modest average rise of around 7 to 8%. There was also the good news in the budget of an extra £270 million this year for an extra 20,000 places. Clearly a bit of electioneering, there's no doubt about that, but nevertheless an important breather, I think, for universities, even though, of course, the announcements come very late in the admissions round, which brings problems of its own. And if you add in the extra money that's needed for student support, which fortunately was given along with that extra money for the places, that amounts to an extra £400 million or so, which is more or less the same amount that we had taken out of higher education budgets just a couple of months earlier by Lord Mandelson, which just shows you really what sort of a seesaw situation we're in terms of higher education funding. However, a further look at the political manifesto, and it's worth looking closely at them all, I think, at the moment, is that all of them talk about the importance of social mobility, and therefore I think widening participation is going to be at the heart of all of the policies of all of the three main parties. So widening participation and with it, or, you know, retention and progression will be important issues for the next government, whatever colour it might be. Of course, another uncertainty you're all very aware of on top of all this is the Brown review of student funding, student finance. I think there's now very strong expectation that Brown will tackle the anomalous position of part-time students. But the question really is how he will do that. And what the implications are for the current arrangements for full-time students if he does do that indeed. One thing I think is pretty certain, quite clearly graduates and or students, but more likely graduates, are going to be shouldering an increasing burden of the cost of higher education. We could get to that tipping point after Brown where actually the student stroke graduate is paying the majority of the cost of higher education. I think that tipping point will be very important and significant in terms of what students expect from their whole experience. And indeed, perhaps about how institutions should listen to student voice, although I know that's something that's growing anyway. So I hope I haven't depressed you too much by some of these statistics and some of that overall background, but I think the setting, the context is pretty significant for where we are and for the sort of things that we'll be talking about today. So without further ado, let me introduce the first of our speakers. Professor Liz Thomas is Director of Widening Participation Research Centre at Edge Hill University. She's also the Senior Advisor for Widening Participation at the Higher Education Academy and Lead Advisor working with institutions for Action on Access. She's got 10 years of experience of undertaking and managing widening participation research, including directing an international project with partners from 10 countries. She's written or edited 9 books on the subject, so she's got to compress all that knowledge into 20 minutes or so. So please welcome Professor Liz Thomas.